All right, are we ready to begin?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I sometimes have to wait a moment so my eyes get clear. My eyes get fuzzy sometimes when I praise the Lord. My vision gets blurred. It's not because I don't see Him. It's that I really would rather see Him than you.
Amen.
Y'all can say amen.
Amen.
That's a good statement. Hallelujah. Father, we seek You for word today. Not just soft word, not just word that smells like foo-foo or feels like marshmallow. We want meat.
Yes.
We want things that will be a little hard to swallow, and then once we get them down, they change us tremendously.
Yes.
That's what we long for from You.
Amen.
We say that with an open heart, with a soft heart, and ears to hear. Fill us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Title of the message today is, what is your gift to the world? What is your gift to the world? Now, I'm going to say something that you're not going to like, and I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to fill you.
Amen.
Last week, I gave you a word from God. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant word from God. Why? Because it was from God. It was an alpha word. It was an omega word. It left no room for discussion or variance. That's the reason it's a brilliant word.
Amen.
As I reviewed it, it left no room for discussion or variance.
Amen.
Do you realize how important that is in your life? If I could get everything given to me without discussion or variance.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Most of the time, we make mistakes not because we understood, it's because there was some variance or misunderstanding there. The word that I gave last Sunday needed not even a discussion. No one could make it better with their own life variations.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll preach a message, and when I listen to it, I'll say, man, I wish I could have heard that from a good preacher. Well, last week was a good preacher. That was my gift to you.
Amen.
In this word, all of life's questions were answered.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
If you would listen to that CD and do what it says, all of life's questions were answered. I got to thinking about that this morning as I reviewed that in my mind. Nowhere in your entire life have you ever heard anybody tell you that they gave you something that answered all of your questions. The word provided remedy for all and from all situations and worries.
Amen.
A release from all fear and concern. A provision for all needs and all wants. A physician for all sicknesses and diseases. A guide for all directions needed. A decision for all questions. The answer to all.
Amen.
I feel like we just need to play that one over and over, and I don't need to preach anymore. What was the word?
God.
What was the word?
God.
The Alpha, the Omega, nothing else needs to be said or can. By the way, when the Alpha and the Omega has been said, nothing else can be said.
That's right.
Anything that's being said after that is foolishness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, what have you been saying this week? Beginning with our conversation at the fellowship right back here. At all times, in secret and public, what have you been saying? Things that are from within you are God. Life or death, blessed or curses, what's your choice? Have you been saying what you wanted to say or what's coming out of you? Or have you been suppressing what's coming out of you and saying God? I want to ask you some serious questions. About a half a dozen serious questions here. And if you're wise, you will only answer them to yourselves. Because if you say something out loud, it may be like waving a red flag in front of a bull. I may charge. God would ask you this. What we've spoken this week, has it brought light or fear? Has it brought directions? Careful. Or confusion? Has it brought future? Our hopelessness. Has it brought clarity? Our disparity. I'm going to say them again to you. Think about your conversation. And if you can't think about your specific conversations, think about your general conversation. The subject you bring up. The subject you like to talk about. Has it brought light or fear? Has it brought direction? Or is it confused direction? Has it brought future? Or has it brought the lack of faith in future? Has it brought clarity? Or has it just given people despair? That's number one. And I'll break it kind of down just a little bit by saying, number two, what have you said this week? What you have said this week, does it provide remedy? Have you given anybody remedy this week? Or have you just added to the cancer of the world? How would you add to the cancer of the world? By speaking what the world is speaking. How would I mess somebody up? By speaking what somebody else's opinion has said. What you've heard on radio, what you've heard on TV, what you've heard on wherever you've been hanging around, other people. Have you become part of their confusion? Or have you added clarity or remedy to their confusion? Number three. Who did you empower this week? Who did you weaken and worry? Did you spend time talking about bird flu? Spend time talking about bad government? Did you spend time talking about high fuel prices? I didn't get enough accomplished. How can that provide remedy to anyone? Repeating about an earthquake somewhere or a hurricane somewhere? Or did you spend time wasting people's time, wasting God's time talking about those things? Or did you provide remedy? Any idiot can look at news and find the problem. It takes a man of God to give a remedy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, amen.
Right.
I gave you remedy last week. Just asking you, did you practice it this week? Number four. What did you incite this week? You know what the word incite means? What does it mean, Bill? Cause an action or an effect. A good word to use to insight would be to excite. Did you excite somebody to move, which is an insight? Did you incite to progress, or did you incite to worry and fear? By the way, you did one or the other.
Right.
I should note that. This week, you incited somebody in one way or another.
Yes.
Number five, did I cause faith to grow or to shrink? Well, I always cause faith to grow. Well, you ain't been listening to you lately.
That's right.
Talk about the problem, faith shrinks. Talk about the solution, faith grows.
Amen.
God. Number six, did we speak truth? Which means, did we speak God and Jesus? Or quote other foolish things and people that are lost? Did you see what happened this week to the Supreme Court nominee? Yeah, but I know who holds kings in his hands.
Yeah.
Now, what did I do? I took away your inciting to worry, and I put in inciting to faith, the excitement of faith.
Amen.
Can I tell you where you can't get truth from? You can't get it from this, or if you've got a home phone, you can never get truth from home phones. You can't get truth from television. You can't get truth from radio, especially talk radio. Talk and truth don't go together. Truth's a man. Talk is what you hear on the radio. Television news. Laying awake at night worrying. There's never truth found in any of those. There's only truth in the proclamation of a one God, a one King, a one ruler that thinks good for me in the future.
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, he doesn't just put Stan's name behind Jeremiah 29:11. It applies to everybody.
That's right.
So that gives me permission to tell everybody Jeremiah 29:11. Even in the face of worry, it's still the truth. Circumstances you can't get the truth out of.
Right.
I was listening to a song this morning, and it praised God for the things that I went through. Now, do you know what that means? It only applies to very few. Everybody likes to sing it, but it only applies to those that went through. It doesn't apply to your feelings as pressure was put on. It actually applies to all of the feelings from before as you were going through it, and on the other side once you got through.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you something. Let's just take circumstances, for instance. Circumstances can include all of the phones, televisions, radios, people. Do you think, speaking of going through, do you think that the devil is going to look at you and say, I think God is trying to accomplish something good in his life, so to help God accomplish something good, I'm going to throw up a barrier?
No, that's not what he's thinking.
Not what happens, does it?
No.
God tells me something. Go into Canaan land. Listen to the truth for a second. Hardships never negate what God told you to do.
That's right.
Hardships are to keep you from going through.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You don't like that word. Don't like that word.
Truth.
It's the truth anyway, yeah. That's right. I don't like it either. I just know that it's the truth, so therefore I have to apply it to my life. I have to know that sometimes closed doors, God didn't close them. Well, how are you going to know the difference? I know by the voice of God. If he told me to go through, then I don't, let's just use an old term, I don't care if hell or high water comes, I got to go through. Why? Because God said so, and he doesn't tell me to do bad things. He tells me those things that are good for me. I want to study some scripture for you, and I want you to get some stuff out. I want you to get some things out of this. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. And I hope to add some clarity to something. I've already gone over even what I told you last week, which is a very simple hour-long message saying your answer is God. I took an hour to say 40 times, maybe more, the answer is God. Right? Okay. Now I'm going to show you what the scripture says you cause and you do when your answer is not God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, with the Holy Spirit holding the pen, wrote this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Forget the next part. This isn't about getting rid of a Jew or a Greek. Just read the first part. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you something about that scripture? You should be ashamed of any other gospel.
Yes.
I don't care if it's Bill O'Reilly or whoever your favorite talk show person is or whoever your friend with the gossip you love to hear. Be ashamed of any other gospel except the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
What is the gospel of Christ?
Well, by that, for my sins, and rose from the dead, and offers redemption to anyone who will receive it, believe on him.
Okay. It is the good news about what Jesus did for all.
Yes.
Anything else is not gospel, and I should be ashamed of it.
Yes.
For that gospel is the power of God.
Yes.
Can I put a little weight on our shoulders for a second? God has no power unless it's through our mouths talking about and living the gospel of Christ.
Right.
It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Anything else is shameful. Anything else has no power. Your discussion of a problem or a situation has no power.
That's right.
Except to disgrace God. That's what it's saying. You talk about God, the power of God moves. You talk about anything else, the power of the devil moves. You ought to just keep that in mind. Verse 17. For in it what? In the gospel of God, Christ. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Why isn't God revealed? Maybe it's your fault. What have you been talking about? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The only way to reveal right is having faith in God. Faith in God means I have a good future.
Amen.
I'm not worried about the future. Well, if I'm not worried about the future, then I'm not talking about how bad the future's going to be. I'm talking about how good it's going to get. That's the gospel of Christ. Did you ever hear anybody give a salvation message saying, but as soon as you get saved, things are going to pot? You know why you don't hear that? Because it takes away from the message of Christ. So I'm not going to talk to you about what's going to pot. I'm going to talk to you about the gospel of Christ. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's a real complicated scripture. What does it say? What does it say? God doesn't need to hear your opinion. He doesn't need to hear your judgment. And he doesn't care about anybody else's judgment about how bad things are going. He judges all and deals with it from heaven. So what in the world are we worried about? What in the world are we listening to? And what in the world are we expressing? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. You guys been talking about some ungodliness? Well, it's none of your business. God's taking care of it.
Right.
Amen.
And unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, let me tell you a little clue. If you're talking about anything but the gospel of Christ, you are unrighteous. Look at me. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I know that's a little hot. Don't look at right or left. It is unrighteous to talk about anything but the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a recipe. I'm talking about things that take away from the gospel of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
If I'm walking around here like the world is, lost like the world is, I don't need to hear from you how lost the world is.
Right.
I got that one down. I need to hear from you and see in you there is a future and a hope. Because if God is not in you, you can't give that to me. And if he is, you will give it to me.
Amen.
I'm not going to be judged from heaven because of my unrighteousness. God does the managing. God does the judging. And God does the enforcing.
That's right.
He doesn't need our opinion. He needs our obedience. To suppress the truth, to distort the truth, or withhold the truth is unrighteous, and God will deal with it.
Yes.
You got people around you, and you're floating with those people, you are an unrighteous man.
Right.
Woman. If you're not leading in the way in hope and truth, you are an unrighteous person. Unrighteousness should be extremely uncomfortable around you because you are a militant. You are not a floater. You're causing trouble. Why? Because that's what the gospel of Christ does. It causes earthquakes in the kingdom of darkness. What can heal our government, for instance? your righteousness, the gospel of Christ. What can heal? What does that lady need that stabbed her granddaughter to death? She doesn't need the news media telling them she stabbed the daughter to death. She knew that. She doesn't need any of you repeating it. She needs somebody to tell her what the hope is. Because now she's lost. She knows she's lost without hope. There are 10 jillion problems and one answer. And you're not it. God's it.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because, this is why we talk about the wrong thing. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Now, what does that mean? That meant the unrighteousness is shown because you knew better. The scripture says, all men know better. Let me say it another way. The only way it can be wrong is for you to know better.
Amen.
We as a church allow people to believe that it's all right to stab your granddaughter to death because she didn't know better. This scripture says you knew better and so did she.
Amen.
Let me read it to you again. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Okay, now let me dig just a little deeper. Do you know the reason that we know that it's wrong to stab your granddaughter to death? Do you know why she knows it's wrong? Now just think about that for a second. We're not the Holy Spirit and we don't have to convict her. She stabbed her granddaughter to death and picked up the phone and said, I've done something wrong. Why? That is God being revealed. Did you know that? That's God being revealed. It says that. God is manifest in them, not because she stabbed the daughter to death, the granddaughter to death. It's because she admitted it. If it had been all right, what would you need to admit?
Amen. Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Look at me funny if it doesn't. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, now listen to this carefully. It's a good scripture to quote to atheists and agnostics and fools. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. We thought we had to preach to make him seen. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What's not made? Everything is made, so everything understands. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. By the way, they is also you and me. We have no excuse for doing wrong. And the reason we study the Word is to learn more right and take away our excuses for doing wrong.
Yes, amen.
Right? Everybody knows what's right. Everybody knows what's wrong. The world teaches and reveals God. Verse 21. Because although they knew God... Now, get in this word. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We are not talking about sinners.
Right.
We're talking about people that know there's a God. Now, the reason I want you to hear this is because it says that if you don't talk about God, you're going to become a fool. Is that what that says? I'll read it to you again. Because although they knew God, Remember last Sunday, me talking about God, God, God's your answer, God, God, God's your answer? Mm-hmm. If you have not let God, God, God be your answer, you've gone the other direction. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They glorified the problem and not the answer. Nor were thankful that He's an answer, but became futile in their thoughts. Anybody here knows what the word futile means? I think it's even worse than that. Futile would be like a car running and not going anywhere. It is useless, but it's also creating obnoxious gases.
Amen.
They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That means they got worse. What God's telling me over and over, I hope you're hearing this, is that if we're not answering with God, we're becoming futile in our thoughts. Why? Because you are letting your thoughts dwell in places they should not be.
Yep.
You know what the next obvious answer is? You start giving them answers that aren't God. You start saying, well, your answer's a doctor. Your answer's a lawyer. Your answer's a chief. Your answer's war. Your answer's money. Your answer's talk more. Your answer's work more. That's what we who know God, if we're not conscious and giving thanks and in our righteousness exposing Him, we become futile in our thoughts. Listen, I like his hmm. Because what that means is, man, that's true. Now also, the next step is, I got to work on this. Because I know that all of my answers are not God. Anybody in here can deny that? I mean, I can't deny that. I know that some of my answers are not right off. They're off the cuff instead of off of God. And the cuff means me. I need to cuff my mouth. We know God is the answer, and not to use Him, live Him, speak Him, praise Him is unrighteousness. It will cause us to depend on our mind. If we don't depend on God as the answer, we start depending on our mind, and when we depend on our mind, it becomes futile,
yes,
and we become fools. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, I can quote you this scripture many different ways. The number one I'd like to quote you is, the wiser a person acts, the more foolish they are. That's wrong. That's wrong. You just negate what I just said. Their actions will follow their wise leader.
Yes.
The more they think themselves wise, the bigger fool they are. See, I told you that I gave you a brilliant message last Sunday, but I never said it came from me.
Amen.
I know where wisdom comes from, and it's not from me. Do you know that? Can I tell you something? You've never made a wise decision in your entire life unless it was from God.
That's right. Amen.
You better not ever take glory for making a wise decision. You better be really quick to say, I was wrong. Because then the wise one is quick to say, you're forgiven. But if you never say, I was wrong, you can never get you're forgiven. Mm-hmm. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, what are we talking about here? We're referring to the scripture above. They knew God, but did not glorify Him. Listen, if you got your mouth going and you're not glorifying God, guess who you're glorifying?
Uh-huh. Amen. That's right.
You. That's who you're glorifying. Well, I didn't mean to. Didn't ask you what you meant. Ignorance is no excuse. The scripture here is revealing to you exactly the truth. If you got your trap going and you're not exalting God, you're exalting you. Or at least you're trying to. The Bible says all you're doing is making a fool out of you. Considering our thoughts as wise, we think we are wise. We have discarded God and become fools.
Uh-huh.
If we are to be wise, it will show in our attention to God through conversation. If we're wise, it will show in our attention to God through our conversation. If we're wise, it will show. It will look like we're very attentive to God, because we are. And we won't look like fools. We will look like that humble person that God wants. We won't have to act humble. You know what acting humble is? Lying. Say, oh, I'm not worthy. Yes, I am. Oh, that wasn't my thought. I had it. I guess it was. I'll tell you what, if I ever had a same thought in my life, I'm going to give glory to God, because that's where it came from.
Amen.
That's the truth. That is the honest truth. If I ever said anything wise in my entire life, it was because the Holy Spirit was squeezing it out of me. I probably didn't want to say it. That's humanity.
Yep.
Thinking themselves wise, became fools, verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Are you beginning to put this together, what I'm saying to you? When we are not blaming God, that means giving Him praise, giving Him honor, giving Him glory. The reason I did this is because God said. The reason this is successful, because God did. The minute that I stop that, then I begin to be foolish and think I'm wise, thinking myself wise, become a fool. And then what do I minister? What does the church minister? Here's what it says. Changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. In other words, people start thinking you look like God. Or you think that a person looks like God. A lot of preachers think they look like God.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you that openly. I don't know very many that do.
That's right.
Why? Because God's my answer, not the preacher. If the preacher says anything wise, I'm going to give God the glory. Listen to me. If the preacher says anything wise, I'm going to give God the glory, because if I don't, then the preacher gets to looking like God, our incorruptible, our corruptible man. As long as I give God all the praise and all the glory, and He is my answer, and He's incorruptible, then my vision is on incorruptible. It's not on corruptible.
Amen.
Therefore, my image, the image that I make of God, does not look like a man. It looks like something much higher than a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can never think that I'm God, because I know that the image of God is much higher than my image.
Yeah.
Right? Change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Where are we in Colorado? Their God is trees. Their God is animals. Their God is
right. Prairie
dogs. Their God is dogs, cats. You got people that think themselves wise, being fools, leaving wills and property to animals who can't own. I can't go to church because of my cat, my dog, my... What did he say?
Goldfish is sick.
Time to eat it. Don't ever name anything you might have to eat. Change the glory. This is such an important scripture. We think we are smart, so we convince others that if you'll be like me, you'll be smart. If you'll live like me, you'll be righteous. We forgot the answer, didn't we? We talked about something that wasn't the answer. We became unrighteous and started revealing unrighteousness. Do you understand there's only one righteous?
That's right.
And if I can reveal that one that's righteous, I become righteous.
Amen.
But if I reveal me, I preach unrighteousness, and I reveal on you unrighteousness.
Amen.
And then our idols and our worship properties become like man or animal. That's what this is saying. We speak our own wisdom. Others start seeing God in a false way. Verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Sometimes we don't see the big picture in Scripture. Why did God give them up to uncleanness? They were becoming God, not honoring God, right? So he said, listen to me. I know the Scripture says gave them up. But you need to understand, God's a gentleman. And if he says right and you want to go left, he will let you go left. That's all that means. He gave them up to where they wanted to go. To uncleanness. In the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Boy, when you're unrighteous, bad things happen. I believe that's what it's saying. In other words, they use excuses for what they want. Disease. The reason I've got these problems is heredity. My parents raised me wrong. In other words, I allow... Let me tell you something. If you give me an excuse of your past is why you do wrong, I'm going to come against you like a hurricane. Because you have just... exalted something other than God. And what I owe you, listen to me, those of you that like to keep quiet. What I owe you is the truth. And I betray you if I don't speak the truth. Then I'm unrighteous. Bob's favorite saying, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. I'm beginning to rail on him about that. Let me tell you something. You ask me a question and I'm going to give you the truth. And if you start doing wrong and you don't ask me a question, I'm going to give you the truth. Because I am not going by the supreme commander of the universe. I'm not going to be accused of dereliction of my duty. Amen. And I'm not going to have him say, I'll turn you over to uncleanness because you keep your mouth shut. Amen. This is a precious gift from God. To be used for God.
Yes.
And to silence that tongue. Is an insult to God. I become the animal in the trees. Only worse, I've been given the ability to proclaim unrighteousness. Preach it and teach it. Our wrong use of our mouth turns us over to uncleanness and the lust of our hearts. You know who you're most in love with? Left alone. Do you know who you're most in love with? You. That's unclean.
Yes.
That's what that is saying. Left to your own. Become fools. You love yourself more than you love God. Therefore, you become God. You're going to enter deeper and deeper into perversion. That's what it's saying. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. If I don't dwell in the truth, what do? I get a lie. I start believing. That's what the Bible says. I start believing a lie.
That's right.
Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. We ought to weep here. We literally ought to weep in our hearts for where we've done this thing. We've exchanged the truth of God for a comfortable place called a lie. For popularity, for acceptance, for whatever it is. I'm going to get more and more convinced every day that I don't care about whether I'm accepted by the world, only by God. And serve the creature rather than the creator. If my goal, Patrick, is to please you more than God, I'm serving you. I'm everything that I don't want to be. I want to be a slave of God, serving God. I don't want to serve man. Therefore, the only way I can be free of man, first of me, then of you, is to only serve God. The creator who is blessed forever. If I don't stick to the truth, then lie will enter in.
Yes.
And I will begin to serve the created rather than the creator who is blessed forever.
Yes.
If I want to be blessed forever, I have to serve the creator, not the created. Yes. I'm the created. If I serve me, I can't be blessed. If I served him, I'm blessed forever.
Right.
This is the result. Not just personally. Here's the problem. Listen to me carefully. This has kind of been a personal thing. You've been taking a little personal. My question to you is, what is your gift to the world? Now get it out of you as personal. Let's talk about the world who needs you, the church that's gone astray. a broader view than you. You want me to read all these scriptures to you again, and let's talk about those out there that are in need or in want? You've got friends, you've got relatives, you've got enemies. They need something from you. What is it they need from you? Sure. My advice. No! They don't need your advice. They need God.
Yeah.
Well, they need my finances. No! They need God.
Yeah.
Well, they need my comforting, my holding of their hand. No! They need God. You know why this is important for me to say this to you? You need to stop fooling around with the world. You need to be a pain in the world's side. You got somebody that's professing Christianity to you, and you can't see them exalting God continually, then get away from them. They're a liar and the truth's not in them. They think they're wise and they become fools. Yep, those faces that just hit your mind, that's them. That's who they are. Who's the most dangerous person in your life? It is not the sinner. It's the saint. It's you. And then it's that person that's proclaiming God but not living God. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just take one. There's two things that are rampant in the church. One, a belief in healing. One, a belief in prosperity. Are they from God? Absolutely. Who misuses them the most? Christians.
Yes.
Because they'll say, they'll use the scripture as a crutch.
Yeah.
By your stripes, I'm healed. Not according to this. By his stripes, paid the price. You have to live the price.
Amen.
Not speak it, live it. You can preach it after you're living it, but you better live it first. Karen, would you pray with me? Would you believe with me? I need to be healed. I need this and that. I need that to happen. Karen needs to say, you need to serve God. Don't quote them scripture anymore. You've quoted it till it's already bruised beyond recognition. Just tell them God's the answer. The reason where you are where you are, is because you don't serve God. You command God. You don't serve God. You command him. You don't serve him. If all the time you're hitting him with scripture in his face and you're not listening, you're commanding God. You're not serving him. The scripture's here to inform us of what we need to know and do to get the scripture to work.
Amen.
This sounds complicated. It is not complicated. It is not complicated. You remember when you were under your parents' thumb? You didn't please them. You knew it. Sometimes, maybe you don't even know why you didn't please him, but you knew you were displeasing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think God's that way? They didn't kill you, did they? They didn't take away every promise and every inheritance. They didn't do that. But they let you know that if you continued on this course, something bad was going to happen worse than it's already happened.
Yep. Okay.
This is our God. Gracious God. Loving God. Don't surround yourself with losers. Don't spend the rest of your life ministering to losers. God says, I'll let you be a loser if you want to be a loser.
Yes.
Isn't that what we just read?
Yes.
The world needs God. They don't need you. They don't need healing. They don't need finances. They don't even need salvation. They need God.
Amen.
And let God decide, judge, rule, reign in all of those applications. I'm not against healing. You guys know that. I'm not against preaching or teaching it. But I will give up on you. You think you're wise? Be wise. Read the scripture. I don't think God agrees with you, but go ahead. I want you to listen to me. I am an oracle of God. You know what that means? No egotism here at all. God's laying this on me hard. That means God wouldn't say it much different if he were here himself.
Amen.
He'd do it better. A lot better. But the outcome, the truth, would not be different.
Amen.
Now, you like that one. You never heard me say that before, have you? I told you, I see the mountaintops. You think I was kidding about that. I told you things were going to change. God's changing me. I don't know about you, but he's changing me. The world needs us. Who's the world? Everybody that is not proclaiming the gospel of Christ openly every day. It's not just those that don't go to church. We're supposed to meet a real estate agent after everything calmed down here. Called this morning. He said, what time do I'm supposed to meet? Do we need to meet? She said, let me ask the pastor when he intends to be through. I said, don't know. Tell him he needs to come to church. He needs it badly. That's what she told him. You know what he said? I really do. Now, does he get brownie points for admitting? No.
Nope.
No, he gets brownie points for responding. Yeah. Not incorrectly, but correctly. Amen. He thinks he made brownie points with God. He did not. God just said, dummy, if you need to go, go.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll think yourself wise and become a fool. We've ridden all over the place with him, and you know what his response to us is? I learn so much when I hang around you. Listen, if you mean that, then hang around some more.
Amen.
If you don't, then get far away from me, because you don't do a thing to me blowing up my skirt. I don't wear skirts. Y'all notice that? So don't try to blow up there. It's not going to make any difference. This is the result. From ignoring what I've been talking about, which is speaking of God continually, Christians, non-Christians alike, let's just read 26 through 32. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Now all of a sudden we say, oh, porn. Nope. A vile passion can be sugar.
Yes.
It can be anything that God is against. If he tells you in your life, don't, then if you respond to anything else, it's a vile passion.
Yes.
For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Now, the next time you women or men meet a woman that calls himself a lesbian, what are you required to tell them? You don't believe the scripture is truth, so you don't want to speak the truth. You want to be quiet. Ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies. Not a chance. You owe them God. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Who's nature here? God's the nature, isn't it? In other words, you were created, you were fitted, you were designed for man. Woman, for man. And anything other than that is a vile passion. It'll send you to hell. We can say that because it's the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
We're required to say it because it's the gospel of Christ. We're required to say it because they're lost and they're going to hell.
Right.
You want to help them get there? See, if you're quiet, what I'm trying to say is if you're quiet, you start the slide in unrighteousness and you'll be there. Verse 27, likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, God's designed use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. You get that word? Shameful? So any soft man leaning to another man is a shameful thing. And you are required to say it. Why? Because it's righteous. Quiet is unrighteous. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. AIDS is due. Go back a generation. Syphilis and gonorrhea was due.
Amen.
What's this disease, not this thing that gets on people now and they can't ever get rid of it? What's one of them? No, it's all glumped into one title. Three letters. That's one of them. STDs. STDs. We don't want to say it out loud because it just doesn't sound good. It is due from what? From what you have done, it is due. Individually? No. God's now speaking to the entire world. You want to get involved in the world? You're going to get STDs, HIVs, AIDS, whatever comes along. Who's the instigator of it? Man.
That's right.
Men are the instigators. Women may have eaten the apple, but men are responsible for it.
Yes, yes.
28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, even as they did not like or prefer to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. What's your answer for anything that is not fitting?
God.
What is the explanation?
They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge.
I should be there, but I got a couple of houses to show. Why? It's more comfortable to show houses. It makes money. It's instant, tangible reward. Whereas we know that to retain God in our knowledge and our words is eternal reward. Let's go on. Here's what happens. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. Who? Whisperers. I wouldn't think that would be a sin to whisper. I don't think that unrighteousness is whispering. Well, let's just figure out what he's talking about. What is whispering here? Soft. What else? Gossiping is. Let me tell you a secret. No! Speak it out loud. Speak it loud. Come on. I'm not ashamed of you. It means that you're not proud of what you're saying. You're saying something that you might not be able to say. Yeah. Or you might not should say. I'm the world's worst about that. I can't hear you. Speak up. Man, I'm getting, I don't think it's my hard of hearing. I think I'm getting worse about that. I want you, if you got something to say, you say it. One of my favorite sayings in the last few months has been this. I said what I said. Right? I'm not trying to be smart, aleck. I don't want to sit here and repeat the same thing over and over and over to you. You know how the devil, his biggest tool is to wear you down. Not take no for a no or yes for a yes. It's to wear you down. Start saying, I said what I said. What'd you say? God?
Amen.
You're not going to make an end run around on me. Not going to happen. I said what I said. Backbiters. I find it interesting here that there's two words before haters of God, and that's whisperers and backbiters. Haters of God, violent. What's violent? I can take a knife and stick it in the brain of a little child, like just happened last night, and I didn't make any noise, and I might have done it with a smile on my face. Is that violence? See, the violent taken by force is not referring. It's not even the same word. Violent is, you know, by spiritual violence means you know what's right and I'm going to say it and I'm going to do it. I don't care what happens. This violence is evil. Proud. Boasters. Can we boast in God?
Yes.
And when we boast in God, who are we really exalting?
God.
Okay. Inventors of evil things. Let me tell you something. I'll speak from personal experience here. I can think of more evil things than you can think of scriptures to deny them. It's bred in me, and I don't know why. I'm telling you, if I don't control my mind, you cross me and I'll think of 10 evil ways to kill you dead on the spot. And now they'll come out before I can even, if I'm not careful, they'll be out there before I can control them. And I, in high school, I was known as the king of cut. You want to get into a cutting contest? Come on, let's go. Say just one thing, and I will win. Why? Because God's given me that spirit, and the devil wants to use it, and I have to make my mind up which way it's going to go.
Yep.
Do I be quick in the spirit for God, or quick in the liar's spirit, the death spirit, the killing spirit? Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Kids, disobedient to parents. Adults, who's your parent?
God.
Don't be disobedient. This is a cool one. Verse 31. Undiscerning. That means not having a clue. Is unrighteousness. Don't mean... Sorry about this, Bob, but tell me no questions. I mean, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. It's undiscerning. Why? Because I have an answer. To what? To everything. I'm telling you guys, I'm giving you permission to say, I have an answer to everything. In fact, I'm if you don't say that, you're unrighteous. I have an answer to everything. God. Untrustworthy. Untrustworthy. We were going out to meet the real estate agent here about a week ago. His cell phone was out. We made an appointment at 1:30 and we had to be there at 2. Let's just leave it at that. If I'm 30 minutes off, so be it. The point being that we knew we were going to be late, so we called, left him a message that we were going to be there at 2 instead of 1:30. At 10 minutes till 2, he called me. That was a mistake. Where are you? Where I'm supposed to be. Coming up to where you are, I can see from here. Well, you're supposed to be here at 1:30. I said, nope. Left a message on your phone saying I was going to be there too. Well, my phone don't work. You still picked the wrong guy. I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. When I got him in the car, I said, sir, my wife and I are fairly punctual because we believe when you say you're going to do something, you don't do it, you're a liar. Did you tell me you were going to have a cell phone? Do you want to play the game? Listen, if you have the answer for everything, and it's God, don't worry about a war of wits with those that come disarmed.
Amen.
Unarmed. You need to be instant in season and out of season to reveal God. And trustworthiness is the number one way that the world is going to notice who you are.
Amen.
Say what you say. Then do what you say. Unloving. Unloving. Do you? Can you be convicted of loving somebody so much that you'll give them the truth? Or do you need to be hung? Do you love people enough to give them the truth? Let's determine that as unloving or loving. Unforgiving. Are you unforgiving? Our family crest says, I don't get mad, I get even. Not my immediate, the one I came from. The one I am no longer a member of, God's my Father.
Amen.
Had to learn from Him what forgiveness means. Could not learn from my heritage. Unmerciful. Can I tell you, if you're not merciful, you don't obey one of the Ten Commandments that says treat others like you want to be treated. You don't even know what mercy is unless you know that script, that commandment. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. If you practice one of these things, you're worthy of death. Know it. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Do you know how the church's greatest approval of unrighteousness is? They're quiet. We have homosexuality growing, not because they can propagate, because the church condones it.
That's right.
Ha, you telling me they condone it? Are you quiet about it? Is the church quiet about it? Does the church say, oh, God loves everybody? Don't use that as a cop-out. That's a cop-out. The truth will set them free, so give them a dose of truth. Tell them it's not natural, it's perverted, and it'll send you to hell. No matter what the world tells you, that's what it'll do.
Right. Amen.
I remember sitting in Ken and Renee's house one time. That little daughter just sprouting, and all the buzzards were coming around. You understand what that means?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And there was a guy there that she shouldn't have been hanging around of. Dad should have knocked him out the first time he walked in. Mom should have continued it after that. But they wanted to work like a merciful God. That means let the foxes into the hen house. That's what that means. No.
No.
You're the watchman at the door.
That's right.
You're the guard. And that kid popped off and said something that I thought was a little off-colored. And I was a guest in their house and didn't care. And I stopped what I was doing and I looked at those parents and I said, are you going to knock this kid out or am I going to? I said, I wouldn't put up for a second you, that man talking, that kid talking to my daughter like that. He'd find himself flat on the floor. Well, Stan, you're out of order. No, sir. No, sir. I'm in order.
That's right.
I'm in God's order.
That's right.
God's not there personally. He sent me. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
That's our responsibility. He is not going to come personally and enter into every situation. But when you're in one, you better take it serious.
Yes.
You were put there. I don't care if it's your kids. I don't care who it is. If you act like the sinner, you become the sinner and God begins to look like the sinner. That's what the scripture says.
Exactly right.
You act like God, they'll know what he looks like.
Right.
You tolerate it and you'll make them believe God tolerates it.
That's right.
What we need to do is question ourselves in every situation. If God were here this very moment, how would he handle it? That's the way I got to do it.
Amen.
Do we, as a force of habit, speak of hope and future, or do we speak of perversion? That's our two choices, life or death, blessings or curses. There is no good in you.
That's right.
I'm quoting scripture here now. There's no good in you. There's only God.
Yes.
Does that make you less? No. It empowers you.
That's right.
If you've got the answer, you deliver the answer.
Yes.
You stand in the answer and on the answer. What are you giving the world? Man's foolish thoughts, babblings, or are you giving them God?
Amen.
Don't answer me unless it's prophecy in your life. And that's good. Because I'll think you're lying because I know where we are. I know where I am. I am convicted in front of you and I hope you're convicted in front of
yes,
me.
Yes.
I need to make a habit of my mouth not being drawn into nonsense. But being drawn, I draw to sense
yes.
because God draws me to sense.
Yes. Amen.
Sanity, trustworthiness, reliableness. By the way, the Bible tells us that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Where are you? We can be the same fool yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Or we can be that same person that has the answer to everything.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. You know what we need to be accused of, Bill? We need to be so boring to the public that they turn to us and say, everything you say, the answer is God. Ooh, man, thank you. Woo-hoo! Now I got a reason to shout.
Yes.
Don't you ever have any other answer? No! because then I might become the fool that you are. You don't have to say that last part. That's not required. But you need to know what's foolish and what's not.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Right. Now, I feel good.
Amen.
I feel good. I have done what God has told me to do. I have spoken it in the attitude that He told me to speak it in. I even thought about, Stan, can you soften this up a little bit? And I don't think that would have pleased God.
Amen.
Warned my wife. Still came out better than I thought, right? Because I was a little concerned. You know what? Every message should come with an attitude.
Amen.
God's attitude.
Yes.
If it's hostile, it's hostile. Let me tell you what I told my wife, and then we're going to get through here. I feel, and I have felt this over the last month or so, that God's just about had enough. Mm-hmm. He's just about tired. And this scripture is being revealed to you today to let you know that. I never read that scripture like I read it to you today. Never understood it like I stand before you and understand it now. And I think that God is tired of our foolish babbling, and He wants to be, let me tell you something. He wants to start hearing us repeat the wisdom He's given us.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
It's like me standing before you and saying, I have poured out, and I have poured out, and I have poured out. How come you don't act it out? And if you take that picture, you'll know what it is to dishonor your parent.
Yes. Yes.
God, our parent, lives before us continuously, has an intercessor named Jesus for us, constantly pouring out wisdom and understanding and grace and mercy. Why don't we hurry up and act like it?
Amen.
It might be my impatience, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think God is becoming, He's starting to do this. You understand what I'm saying? He's starting to go. I said He don't own a watch. I know that. This is just figuratively speaking. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's more than one way to add to the kingdom of God, souls. One that's been saved forever and has not yet really given himself to God needs to do that, and it's another way to add to the kingdom in souls. Now, all hearts clear here today. If you need to talk to God, now is the time. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed for a wait. You're guaranteed now the time. If you've got some things that need to be confessed, let me tell you something. God's such gracious. Jesus loves you so much. Just put your head down or close your eyes and say, God, help. You know that I know what He's talking about. I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be what You want me to be. I want to be bold. I want to be strong. I want to be powerful. In Your might, Lord, I want to move mountains. I want to do things. I need to change. I want my neighbors, I want my friends, I want my enemies, I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want everybody that knows me to know that I serve a living, powerful, strong God and that I believe in His future.
Amen.
Amen. And God, You can use me. You can use me in any way You want. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this word. Holy Spirit, thank You for the word and the attitude. I hope the attitude expressed not only the seriousness, but the pending disaster in the future if we don't heed this word. I'm not trying to preach fear, but I do want to preach truth. So we receive this, the word and the attitude, from You, process it in us, and let it come out, profit to Your kingdom.
Yes.
Let it be now. Yes and amen. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, you heads of households, Stop tolerating words that don't apply to your house. No more words. Migraine is not a word that belongs in your house. Poverty is not a word that belongs in your house.
Amen.
Defeat is not a word that belongs in your house.
Yes.
You hearing me?
Amen.
You are the representative of God in your house. Be that. God is not timid. He's bold.
Yes.
Be that bold.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Don't joke. Don't mock. Just be true.
Yeah.
Be gracious, but be true. Cover your wife. Cover your children. Protect them. And then when you need it, they can do you. But that's your eternal position.
Yes.
Don't let them talk you into anything. You talk them into things. God. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be dismissed.